Training Regimen. Check us out at championsvillage.net.
Do you have big dreams, big plans? Well, you'll need a small rate. Royal Banks of Missouri can help build your future. Royal's home equity rates are at a historical low. And for a limited time, Royal Banks is offering one of the area's best home equity lines of credit. Call 314-212-1500 to talk to a representative today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
The Seibert's family of restaurants is growing. You heard that right. Seibert's has opened the doors of their newest restaurant and bar in St. Peter's. Conveniently located at 70 and Mid Rivers Mall Drive, Seibert's is celebrating their opening and inviting guests to enjoy the Seibert's dining experience. Check out their newly renovated bar, restaurant, and patio. The Seibert's menu serves a large variety of appetizers, including the best wings in St. Louis, mouthwatering burgers, freshly made salads, and St. Louis-style pizza. Check out Seibert's.com for more info.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny.
Famous guest today.
Oh, yeah.
It's his birthday.
Who's on birthday?
Is it Dan Aykroyd?
No, it isn't. Is it? No, it's not. This
rover. Our next guest is a very entertaining, very funny young man, but I should warn you, he is actually a couple of bricks shy of a load.
Thank you, David.
Why is it Dan Aykroyd's birthday today, too?
No, I don't think so.
Why did you say, is it Dan Aykroyd?
I don't know. I just really like to interview Dan Aykroyd one day.
No, seriously, would you?
I mean, yeah, I'd love to. I think he's a great actor.
I agree with you. I think you talk about a guy who has to have a thousand stories. I mean, between certainly Saturday Night Live and the movies he's been. The guy's been in more movies than people realize. And he probably knows a lot of very famous people. I think that would be a good choice. If somebody asks you the question, who of anybody living would you like to sit down with for an hour? You'd say Dan Aykroyd, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Ma.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, man.
Hand me the trophy.
I was getting ready to keep
the trophy for 24 hours.
We've got to let you win at least once a week or we're worried you'll quit.
If I quit, it won't be because of that. I'll tell you, I could lose the muck contest for the next year. It wouldn't matter to me. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. It's February 6th. And we got a lot of things to talk about today. First of all, today is the birthday of a good friend of the show. And he's always available. And he's a big, big name in the news. Yet every time I ask him if he'd be available by satellite, he's always there for us. And he's on live by satellite right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the 79th birthday today of Tom Brokaw. That's right. The Tom Brokaw is 79. And hang on just one second.
Do we have him? Now we do. Now we have him.
This is Tom Brokaw, ABC Nightly News.
Tom, happy birthday, man. 79 years old today. Oh. How do you feel? How you feeling?
Thanks so much, Pete. It's good to be on the show.
I don't know who Pete is. Tom, it's Frank O'Pinion.
Her crap. I am in the PM.
Oh, there you go. Thank you, Tom.
You bet.
So how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. You know, it's pretty good. You know,
yeah.
I miss most about my childhood and being younger is back pain, not having back pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you doing anything special today for your birthday, Tom?
I don't think so. I think I might go to I might head over to Mexico.
go to Mexico.
Yeah, I go to Mexico and talk to some kids in a school because I said something last week or something like that, and I got everybody mad.
Yeah, you got in a little trouble. Honestly, I don't even remember what it was you said. Tim, do you remember what it was Brokaw said?
I believe.
About assimilation.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. I don't even remember.
Tom, I remember what it was. And quite frankly, I don't think you said anything wrong. People should assimilate. If they're going to come into this country, they should learn the language. And, you know, nobody's saying they have to do it in a week, but in a reasonable amount of time. So I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's blown over. And you're still in there. I mean, you're retired, but we see you on TV all the time. Why is that? Why can't you stay off TV?
Well, I'm married, right? I think.
I think you are. Yeah.
I think you are.
I think so. Yeah.
When I come home, when I'm at home, my wife can't stand me being home. I get up in the morning and she's like, "Hey, why don't you just get the hell out of here?" I leave and I go and I told them, "Hey, I'll work for free." Brian Williams took my job, that SOB.
You're still bitter about that. For those of you who just joined us, we are speaking live with the one and only Tom Brokaw, who is 79 years old today. And I would imagine, even if it's a surprise and you don't know it yet, that day's not over. And I know that in New York, it's 3 hours later, so it'll be right after 6 o'clock. I got a feeling somebody, probably your wife or somebody, has a very nice surprise of an evening waiting for you that you don't know about yet.
I got a text from Matt Lauer. He said to swing by his house later. He had a big surprise for me.
I have a question.
Tom, you guys are both newsmen. Tom, this is Tim Woodburn. He's part of the show here at 590. The Fan. He has a question for you.
Tom, congratulations on turning 79. That's quite an accomplishment. I'm just wondering, what's the biggest difference between 79 and 69?
Well, my favorite age was 77, because it's 8 more than 69. But 79, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, it is a big deal, because it's the last year that you won't have to say you're in your 80s. Oh, my goodness, that's going to be...
That's a bunch of crap. Yeah,
that's going to be a tough one to say that you're 80.
Yeah.
So you got a year that you don't have to do that yet, so make the most of it, and... you know, just keep doing what you're doing. Be careful what you say anymore, Tom, because as you know, everybody likes to read something into it. So
I'm thinking about, you know, maybe jumping on a plane, heading to Japan for a little while.
I thought you were going to Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd like to go to Japan, too. And the question that I have for you guys, do they, in the restaurants in Japan, do they have American people the cook in front of you with lawn chairs and a grill?
Don't know. Don't know. That's a good question. I've never been over there. I've never been there, Tom. That's a great question.
I might open something.
Now, you told me before we went on the air here, you said that you will be available throughout the whole show, that we can check in with you, and that you wanted that as a birthday present because you love this show so much.
I do.
You asked me if we would allow you to just be standing by satellite throughout the show in case we want to go to you.
That's right.
And the answer is, of course you can. So we look forward to checking in with you again before the show's over on this, your 79th birthday, Tom Brokaw.
Well, that's fabulous. If I'm in the bathroom, I'll just take the mic with me.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I'll take that with me.
All right, you know how to sign off, at least for a few moments. Go ahead.
That's Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News. I'll see you in a little while, maybe.
The great Tom Brokaw, everybody, 79. Unbelievable. No other station will have that today. You will not hear. Dan, did you step down? Did you hear Tom Brokaw?
Yeah. Well, I heard him out in the hall. I heard him talking over the speakers in the hall.
I'm sorry you had to step out. I know you had sort of a personal issue, and I'm sorry you weren't able to.
Yeah.
When he comes on later, maybe you'll be able to talk with him, too.
Okay, good.
That would be great. I want to say, does anybody have anything to say? We do the Burke segment, but I would like to just address something. Who in the room knows? Who knows what Nine Line Apparel is? Do you know that story?
Nine Line Apparel? No, I have no idea.
Nope.
That CBS rejected their commercial for the Super Bowl. One of the things that drives me nuts about this country right now is the stories that are suppressed and how everybody has an agenda. And this company is called Nine Line Apparel, N-I-N-E. L-I-N-E. It's a clothing
place?
They're headquarters down in Georgia. It's a young company founded by an Army veteran, and they make patriotic clothing. They make shirts that say, you know, I stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. They're very patriotic. They submitted an ad to CBS. And I think 2 or 3 days before the Super Bowl, it was rejected. CBS said, I'm sorry, we won't run your ad. Now, if I've spent the last 2 hours reading everything I can about not just this company, but what Nine Line means. It's a military term. I have never heard of this. And I went through basic training, and I did 6 years in the Army Reserve. Never heard of a nine-line call. A nine-line call is the call that's made from in battle for medevac support when you have seriously wounded soldiers. I always say soldiers. I know that soldier really only applies to the Army, but military personnel, severely wounded, you call for medevac. And for those of you who don't know what medevac, it's evacuation from the site by helicopter, and they call that in. But there's a protocol. You can't just call for a helicopter if the helicopter is going to come in and get blown out of the sky. If there's still fighting going, you have to have taken control of the air. It's the most fascinating thing that I've discovered in a long, long time. So, Nine Line Apparel, founded by this veteran, did a commercial, and the voice in the commercial is a Benghazi survivor. I forgot his name. His name is Mark something. He survived Benghazi. I'm going to play you the audio for the commercial that was rejected by CBS. I hope I got this set up right. Here we go.
Don't ask if your loyalty is crazy. Ask if your loyalty is crazy enough. When they question you running towards danger for those who are unable or unwilling. When they laugh at the thought of you willingly sacrificing your life for someone you may never know, stay that way. Some people think you're crazy being loyal, defending the Constitution, standing for the flag. Then I guess I'm crazy.
Then I guess I'm crazy.
Then I guess I'm crazy.
And for those who kneel, they fail to understand that they can kneel and that they can protest, that they can despise what I stand for, even hate the truth that I speak. But they can only do that because I am crazy enough.
Now that ad, voiced by one of the Benghazi survivors, was rejected by CBS. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't doubt for 2 seconds it was rejected because of the line in there that I always stand, you know, for the pledge. And people who kneel, here's what they don't understand. I unless I'm missing something. Now, obviously, somebody, a reporter or two or three, but not mainstream, went to the CEO of Nine Line Apparel, and I'm sorry, went to CBS and wanted to know the story, the truth, because Nine Line says, hey, they would not run our ad. And certain reporters, not enough of them, wanted to know why. So they go to CBS. Here was CBS's answer to why they rejected the ad. They said they didn't think that Nine Line Apparel could pay the bill.
What?
Wow.
They didn't think they could pay for the commercial.
Geez.
That is hogwash. I watched an interview. I'm not kidding. I've spent the last 2 hours. I watched an interview with the founder of Nine Line Apparel. He said, we've made $75 million. We haven't been around that long, a couple of years. He said, this past year, we took in $25 million. He said, they provided CBS, as I'm sure every company has to before they agree to run their commercial, because it's a $5 million deal to run a commercial. So CBS requires that you, obviously they're going to have to run a credit check on you and do some investigating before they say, okay, let's go. They did. And everything submitted by Nine Line showed their credit is like A+. Every vendor, every supplier they deal with said, no, they pay their bills absolutely on time. This founder or CEO or whoever it was, he said, we'll pay. We're going to try to, we want this commercial run next year in the Super Bowl. We will write the check, let it clear in advance, and then let's see if they run it. This to me is despicable. What has happened, folks? Please don't email me and say, just tell jokes and stories. Every once in a while, we have to be aware of the things that are happening in this country. And when it becomes unacceptable to be patriotic, when it becomes unacceptable to say, I stand for the pledge to the flag, what in the world is happening? What's happening here?
Can I play devil's advocate to this real quick?
Sure, absolutely.
I've worked for various media outlets in my day, TV stations and radio stations. Anytime a new advertiser contemplates coming aboard and the sales rep brings in a sales order, the sales manager always requires that they fill out a credit app. And if the credit app, even if the credit app comes through great with A+,
right,
a lot of times they'll still make a first-time vendor prepay for a period of time before they'll extend that net 30, that net 60, that net 90-day credit. So my question in this whole story is, if they said they worried about them paying the bill, when did this group request the commercial be run, and why didn't they just prepay the bill in the first place if they had the money?
Because I don't think CBS asked them to prepay it. They never got that far. They just rejected it. That's why he's saying next year, if this really is the reason, we'll prepay. We will prepay. I get the impression they were never asked to prepay, and you know why? They didn't want to run the commercial.
Yeah.
They just didn't want to run it. And it really bothers me.
I wonder if they offered, well, I guess he would have said, if they offered
I don't
to
think
prepay.
You, no, I don't think you, no, I don't think you think that way. As the advertiser,
yeah.
Let me put it this way. If I get a new advertiser that I'm going to speak for, they don't say to me, hey, by the way, can we just pay in advance for your commercials? They don't do that.
Okay.
Now, if I said to somebody, look, you're a new advertiser, and this is not personal. Don't take it the wrong way. This is just the way we do this. First-time advertisers need you to prepay for the first month or two, or just to establish. Okay. I think some would, some wouldn't. Some would go, no, I'm going to pay for something I haven't gotten yet. I think, at least from what, and I've tried to read as much as I can about this, I don't think they were ever given that option. Because this guy who runs Nine Line said, we submitted, of course they ask you to submit the commercial so they can review it, whoever at CBS, and screen it, and then approve it or not approve it, based on usually content. Think about years ago when companies you'd never heard of before were running commercials on the Super Bowl, like GoDaddy. I remember watching GoDaddy.
Oh,
what the
goodness,
heck is
yeah.
What the heck is that? Nobody knew what that was. Now, that was a young, new company, but they ran their commercials. Now, I could see if the content was offensive, vulgar. Of course, CBS should turn it down.
Did the
you just
NFL
heard the commercial? There is nothing in that commercial that is offensive, except to people who hate the United States.
Did the NFL have any say in commercials running with CBS?
That's a great question.
Since the game was on,
that's a great question. I don't know, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go online and buy some Nine Line stuff. I'm going to buy some Nine Line T-shirts that say I stand, I love America, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to buy some of their stuff. And if they have the option on the site where you buy it, any comments, I will say, I am buying this apparel because I am so upset that you weren't allowed to run that commercial on the Super Bowl.
Well, a listener brings up a pretty good point on the text line that this happening to Nine Line is probably one of the best things for marketing wise, because I had no idea the company existed until this happened. You just told me, so
yeah.
But this story should be getting so much press that their business would just explode. I never heard about it till today. Neither did you.
Well, no.
It's not getting pressed.
A quarter million people have heard about it because that's how many times this commercial has been viewed on YouTube.
Wow. Wait, did you guys know about it till today?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
All right, now here's something else everybody listening I think will find fascinating, because I sure did. And again, I am a veteran. It's hard for me to say that because I don't feel like I deserve to say it as an Army reservist. But I get it, okay, and I actually, you know, technically am. Nine Line. I've never in my life heard of Nine Line. Let me explain to you, and I've practically taken a course in this the last couple of hours. Nine Line is what you call in a nine line from battle when things are so bad, so many people are so severely wounded, you need medevac. You're calling in the helicopters. But before you can use a nine line call, before you can make a nine-line call, there are five steps, and they're listed. You can find them online. The military publishes them. Military personnel are trained. I think everybody who goes into battle is trained to know what a nine-line is. Five steps. First step is you return fire, and you render the scene safe before you attempt to call in a nine-line. You cannot risk the medevac personnel. You cannot take the chance of them coming in and then them getting blown up. So you have to render the scene safe. Step two. Once fire superiority has been established, then medical personnel can begin care under fire. In other words, the people there on the scene can begin to care for the wounded. They don't want you caring for wounded if, while you're doing it, you're going to get blown up. We've seen Saving Private Ryan in movies where they drag somebody to a safe area before. Once you can begin to care on the scene, you start treating life-threatening wounds. Step three, you have to determine the number of patients by type. In other words, urgent, most critical, less critical, blah, blah, blah. And there are codes for this. I am beyond blown away and impressed with some of the things that our military does that we don't know anything about. So you determine the number of patients by type. This is valuable information to have when you're calling in a nine line. It also allows the medical personnel to accurately triage patients based on their condition and their chances of living. Step four of the five, you contact the medevac channel. You ensure the scene is safe. You get the medevac out. Medevac units will have varied response times based on where they're coming from. And step five, you use nine-line medevac, and you use the format and the nine lines to call in medevac. Now, here's what the nine lines are. There are actually nine lines. Line number one, line number two, and they're posted on a medevac nine-line card that soldiers carry. Here they are. Line one, you give the location of the pickup site. And it's given in an MGRS 6-8 digit grid. I got to tell you something. This is so complicated. It took me 2 hours to sort of figure out what all this meant. Line two, you give your frequency and call sign of the pickup site. Line three, the number of patients by precedence. A is urgent. B is urgent but non-surgical. C is priority. D is routine. And E is convenience. In other words, non-life-threatening care, the least critical. Line four, while you're on the radio doing this nine-line thing, when you get to four, that's telling the medevac people the special equipment required, and it's in code. A means we don't need any special equipment. B means we need a hoist. C means we need extraction equipment like the jaws of life. D means we need ventilation equipment. Line 5, number of patients by type. A, we need a litter. The military person cannot walk on their own. B, we need an ambulance. And line 6 is security of the pickup area. You say N, it means no enemy troops in the area. P means possible enemy troops. Approach with caution. E, enemy troops in the area. Approach with caution. X, enemy troops in the area. We need an armed escort. Line 7 is the method of marking a pickup site. Like purple smoke. You've seen them throw the smoke thing so the helicopter knows where to land. That kind of thing. That's what you tell them in line 7. Line 8, the patient's nationality and status. A means it's a U.S. military person. B, it's a civilian. C, non-military, non-U.S. D, non-U.S., non-citizen. And E is EPW. I don't know what EPW means. And then line 9 of the 9-line call is to let the medevac people know about contamination, either nuclear, biological, or chemical. And now I'm going to close this out, and I won't continue to bore some of you who are bored. This is an example of what a 9-line call would sound like through the first 5 lines, because you don't actually say, send in the choppers, till you get through line 5. Here's how it would go. The first person heard would be calling from battle. Bravo 5, this is Victor 2, request 9-line medevac. Response would be Victor 2, this is Bravo 5, prepared to copy. Line 1, 1-8 Sierra, Whiskey, Papa, 1-2, tree. They use the word tree for 3. 14517. Now let me repeat that. This is the first line of a 9-line call from the battlefield. 180 Whiskey, Papa, 1-2, tree, 14517. What he just told the medevac people, line 2, was, let me look it up again, boom, boom, boom. I'm sorry, line 3. Line 3, Alpha 1, Bravo, tree. That's the number of patients by precedence. I'll break it down. Alpha is urgent, needs a surgery. So when he says Alpha 1, we have one troop that's urgent and needs surgery. Again, what he said in line 3 was Alpha 1, Bravo, tree. Bravo means urgent but not surgical. We have 3 of those military personnel. Does anybody else... I imagine anybody listening to this, like me, this is the first time I've ever heard of this 9-line thing. But this is one small example of what these men and women have to learn and have to learn to do correctly, because if you don't, you're going to get a lot of people killed. Now, I'm not sure I understand the reason for the codes. In other words, why you couldn't just on the radio say, we got this many people who are critical. Anybody got an idea why? Because I don't know that I understand that.
I think because the way they say the words, that there's no mistaking them. So that if you're in the heat of battle and you're trying to call out some requests, that even if you're shouting or loudly, they can still understand you, like, you know, clearly. So there's no confusion. I think that's what it is anyway.
Well, you may be right, because in this one it says the person calling from battle says line 4, Alpha. By saying line 4, Alpha, line 4 indicates special equipment needed, and A, Alpha, means none. In other words, we don't need any special equipment. So just by saying line 4, Alpha, the medevac people know we do not need to pile on and load a lot of special equipment. This is fascinating to me. I'll quit, but I'm actually really glad, in a way, that CBS chose to reject this very patriotic ad Because if they hadn't, I would never have learned all this stuff.
Have you read the script of the commercial? The entire script of what the guy says, top to bottom?
No, I just heard what I played you.
Here's why they didn't run the commercial. Because of this sentence right here, I'm about to read you, that this was the end of the commercial. The guy goes, and for those who kneel, they fail to understand that they can kneel, that they can protest, that they can despise what I stand for, even hate the truth that I speak, but they can only do that because I am crazy enough. So they made fun of Kaepernick. They made fun of all the guys that kneel, and which is the whole reason why many members of various communities across this country wanted to boycott the Super Bowl and make fun of people who were going to appear at the halftime show and the whole bit. Yeah. That's why.
That line was different. In what I just played you.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I'm sorry.
No, I just played you that. That's what this guy, Benghazi survivor. It's in this right. copy. It's in the commercial. Mm-hmm. But again, is that a reason not to run it? I don't. Then why didn't they say that? Why did they say, "Oh, we didn't think you'd be able to pay your bill"? That's complete BS. Why didn't they say, come out and say, because there's a line in there where you're essentially saying that Kaepernick is wrong. Why didn't they just say that?
Because they probably don't want fallout to the CBS company or the other companies they own. They should get
fallout anyway. I mean, they should get fallout for being cowards. CBS, you're cowards. You didn't even have the guts to say we're not running your commercial because we love Colin Kaepernick and we like it when people don't stand for the. Why don't you tell the truth that you don't mind running a commercial, by the way, which they did, if you remember, I've seen it multiple times, Nike with Kaepernick's face on. In fact, they signed a deal with him. Why is that okay?
Because Nike.
Why is it okay to take that stand?
Because Nike had a commercial last year that said, don't ask if your dreams are crazy, ask if they are crazy enough. And this commercial took a stab at that commercial, which said, don't ask if your loyalty is crazy, ask if your loyalty is crazy enough. CBS and the NFL didn't want to PO Nike.
Yeah, no.
Well, you know what?
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, you know what? I'm buying some Nine Line clothing. That's all. I'll close with that. That's all I'm going to say. It's online.
Were there any?
Google Nine Line apparel. I got all kinds of stuff.
You guys watched the Super Bowl. Did they play the Nike Kaepernick commercial or any commercials like that?
I don't think that was on.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I missed the Michael Bublé.
Well,
one.
You never know. Maybe they just wanted to take like a Switzerland stance when it came to politics. They didn't want any of it in there. You never know.
No, too late. Too late, because by rejecting this, you just made it political. There's nothing in that commercial that in any way. I'm finished. I'm going to buy some Nine Line apparel. I can't wait. I can't wait to order a couple of things. Does anybody have anything to say?
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Trevor Limestone, Lima Phillips.
All right, so you remember yesterday you were talking about curse words and bad words and what it's going to be like in 20 years?
Yeah, that we need a new word to replace the F word because we've made it so acceptable. Yeah.
Well, I heard a new kind of curse word insult today that, honestly, I mean, it's two words that you can say on the radio, but when you say them together, it's just kind of, like, it's funny and hilarious, and I just thought it's just nice to see some initiative from the younger generations. The curse word together, I can say bitch on air, right?
Yeah.
And you can say nugget as in chicken nugget, right?
Yeah.
Well, correct. I heard this dishwasher call one of the other dishwashers at work a bitch nugget. And I bust out laughing. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. So
I think some people just make stuff up like that.
Yeah, that sounds like a made up. I've never heard of that. That sounds made up.
Well, of course it is made up. You know, of course it's made up. But I just thought it was really, really good. So I wanted to share it with everybody. You know, maybe use that in your daily life or something. If somebody cuts you off in traffic, call them a bitch nugget. I don't know.
Catch on.
Yeah, you know, like that's what I'm hoping it does.
I'll tell you somebody who gets around a lot more than we do, and it's Tom Brokaw, and he's standing by right now by satellite. Let's ask him if he's ever heard of a bitch nugget. Tom Brokaw, are you there?
This is Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Tom. Have you ever heard Limey say hi to Tom Brokaw?
Hi, Mr. Brokaw. How you doing, sir?
Hi, Limey. How are you?
Another damn paradise.
And Tom, Dan Strauss stepped out a while ago when you were on, and he's back in the studio. Dan, say hi to Tom Brokaw.
Hi, Tom. How are you? I'm doing fine, Dan. How are you?
So, Tom, have you ever heard the term bitch nugget? You ever heard somebody call another guy a bitch nugget?
No.
I can't say that I have. The only time I think I've heard anything like that was in a restaurant when somebody was ordering some chicken nuggets or something.
like where are my nuggets, bitch?
Yeah,
like the reverse
like,
thing.
Yeah,
reverse.
Yeah.
But not you know, bitch nuggets. So,
no.
All right, Tom. Thanks for being available to us through the whole show. We'll check back in with you later. Tom Brokaw, everybody. Tom, you know how to say.
Yeah, it's Tom Brokaw. Everything I only know is I'll be standing by.
Okay. Well, good to have him on board. Maybe we could have him just as a. Like a, not taking Tim's place, you know, but just sort of as a, as we need him correspondent. That would be great. Anything else for the Burke segment?
That's all I got.
Anybody else?
I have a quick one.
I don't.
Okay, with a quick one, here is Tim Woodburn.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I've had two jobs in my life that lasted less than 3 hours. One was as a benefit concert ticket telemarketer on Olive Boulevard where I asked the guy if I could use the bathroom and I ended up sprinting out of the building and running down Olive Boulevard after I was a telemarketer for 3 hours. I've told that story in the air before. The other one I was reminded of as I walked into the station today because there was a van that pulled up in front of Kirkwood Brew House right next door as I was walking into the station, and it was the guy that was delivering the Riverfront Times. And he was in this old beat up junker of a van that looked like something out of Sanford and Son, except it had a cover over the top of it, and he had like these stacks of magazines in there, and you know, he had some hat racks and some hangers and, you know, like a half a lawnmower and all kinds of other crazy stuff in there. And it reminded me, the only other job I've had in my life that lasted less than 3 hours, when I was about 13 years old, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch delivery guy in my neighborhood hired me to be the guy that sat in the back of the van and rolled the paper up, and you put it in a machine that would literally tie a string around it. It was a string tying machine, and you put the paper in there and it went, and I would throw them to the front of the van, and then he would take them up, and the Post-Dispatch was an afternoon paper back then, and he would chuck them out the window to the right and chuck them out the window to the left. There was no ventilation in this van, and the window only opened about an inch in the back, and that newspaper ink got up into my sinuses and into my face and into my nose and everything. And within the second hour of me sitting back there with no ventilation, I ended up throwing up all over the guy's paper.
Whoa! Wow! The papers?
They were in stacks. They were bundled, you know, with those tie wraps on. And I threw up over about three stacks of them, and he made me get out of the van and sit on the side of the road, and then he had to go throw the stacks of ruined papers in somebody's trash can, and then he had to sit there and roll them himself.
Oh.
And then I had to get back in the van and then, you know, ride around with him while he talked. Tossed him around, and I think the guy gave me $15 and said, "Here you go, kid. It's been real.
Get out of here."
Two 3 hour jobs.
I think the shortest time I ever had a job, I think, was a week. There was one job that lasted a week. I'm trying to think. I don't think any shorter than that. You got the record. I think at 3 days. That's
3 hours.
3 hours.
3 hours. Yeah. Three. Well, now you certainly have the record. Anything else?
That's it.
Dan.
Anything? No. I got nuts.
Let's shut her down.
Burke segment.
It's officially closed. Let me do a little bit of business. Let me tell you what's coming up here. In the 4 o'clock hour, Dr. Doug Pernikoff, your pet's best friend. I'm already getting emails from people. I just checked my email. People going, I never heard of the 9-line thing. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. That was fascinating. I don't think most people have. I think the only people that learn about 9-line calls are people who are going to be going to battle me on the front lines, who are deployed to fight. I think then you're required to know it, but it basic is not part of basic training, and I'd never heard of 9-line. So thank you for those emails. I appreciate it. So Dr. Doug in the 4 o'clock hour, be prepared and ready to call if you have a pet and you care about your pet, you have a question, you want some good free advice. First Community Credit Union is a great place to bank. That's a really sort of watered down, nothing sort of statement. It's a great place to bank. Advertisers by the thousands use terminology like that. It's a great place to buy. It's a great place to get a mattress. You'll find it. It's the great place. It actually is a great place to bank. And I know there are people, and I understand people who say, well, there can't be any difference in banking. A place to bank is a place to bank. Well, yes, there can be. It may not be drastically different. For example, one place you get a car loan for 4.5%, and another one it's 15%. Well, it's not going to be like that. But there is a difference. there is a difference that you'll never be able to completely understand until you become a member. That's what we're called. We're not called just customers. We're members of First Community Credit Union. And we, as members, do our banking. And in my case, and I think most people's cases, all their banking, you know, savings and loans, car loans, home loans, credit card, debit card, all that stuff. All that stuff. And business, small businesses, First Community Credit Union loves small businesses. They love to talk to you about being your business partner. Line of credit when you need it, boom, there. You need to expand, and I hope you do. I hope your business is so successful you have to triple your employee roster. And First Community Credit Union would be more than happy to talk to you about being your small business partner. It really is a great place to bank for lots of reasons. There are over 40 locations, and those reasons are the reason that it's the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Again, over 40 locations, and you can find out more at firstcommunity.com.
Time for a check on traffic with Tory Lyons.
Traffic is sponsored by Staples. Commuters are on a roll today. Accident northbound 67 before the Clark Bridge. Accident eastbound 70 at Cave Springs. Accidents eastbound 370 at Earth City Expressway and eastbound 370 on the ramp to eastbound 270. Southbound 270 at St. Charles Rock Road. An accident. Earlier accident southbound 270 at Doherty Ferry. And there's a traffic incident southbound 55 south of McNutt. Right now during Staples Chair Event, save up to 40% on a huge selection of chairs for your home or office. Get the Staples Merit Desk Chair for $99.99. That's a $70 savings. Offer ends 2/9/19 while supplies last. I'm Tory Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Do you have big dreams, big plans? Well, you'll need a small rate. Royal Banks of Missouri can help build your future. Royal's home equity rates are at a historical low. And for a limited time, Royal Banks is offering one of the area's best home equity lines of credit. Call 314-212-1500 to talk to a representative today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
When it's time to talk about the big game or the big stories, make sure to check out 5 for Frank as Martin and Frank tee up the big topics. That's every day between 11 and 12 on 590 The Fan. Brought to you by Greenville University, less than an hour from St. Louis. Find out more about this renowned institution at greenville.edu.
Don't worry if you missed our grand opening. It's not too late to get your young athlete training at Champions Village in Fenton. Champions Village is the brand new state-of-the-art baseball and softball training center that features batting cages, interactive hit tracks, pitching mounds, turf training, and a full infield. And don't forget about the Napudi Wellness Center and STL Athletic Development, where kids get complete training for all sports. Eric Napudi and Leo Deering help put Champions Village at the top of every athlete's training regimen. Check us out at championsvillage.net.
Oh, see what he did there? But see what he did? How clever. Yeah. Tie him with Nike.
Yeah.
Do it. Didn't think anybody would catch that, but I did. There's a caller, and according to Dan, the caller's name is J-E-R backslash. What is that, Dan?
Jer backslash?
J-E-R, and you have a Jer backslash. Let's talk to Jer backslash. Jer backslash, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing real good, Frank. First of all, I want to say I'm a long time AM and the PM.
Thank you.
And the next thing, Frank, as a veteran, I want to salute you for being a person who is not politically correct.
I'll never be. I never want to be.
Yeah.
Because
the next thing is, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
No. You go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to say, you have, without a doubt, the best radio show in the afternoon, bar none.
What did Jerry say? My headphones cut out.
I think he said something like, we're the best show in the afternoon. Or
ever?
Like that.
Oh.
Ever, yeah, bar none. Thank you, Jerry.
You know, Frank, the reason why I'm making a call, first of all, I want to give you a little background. I have one of my grandfathers serve in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle was in Pearl Harbor on December the 6th, 1941.
Okay.
My dad served in the Army. It was a battle at the Bulge. I have a cousin that was in the military. My brother and I both volunteered during Vietnam. I did not serve in Vietnam, nor did my brother, but we volunteered during that time frame. And what happened last night, I got to say, I am extremely saddened and disappointed in the liberal left. When President Trump acknowledged three servicemen who served in World War II and kept us and gave us the opportunity to have the opportunity to do what we're doing today, if we hadn't gone ahead and defeated the Axis powers, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing today.
Yeah, and here's the problem, Jer. I'm not going to keep this up because people don't like it if we get political, but here's the problem. We have far too many people, younger people, who don't get it. They don't get that. All they see is Colin Kaepernick takes a knee and he should be able to, and what's wrong with that, and let's support him. If it's okay to run a Nike ad supporting him, because what he's basically saying is, I don't respect what this country is doing or is enough to stand, then somebody else should be able to run a commercial saying, I don't respect that he disrespects the flag. What's the difference?
Well, that's what,
and then,
that's
and then we're even.
Frank, that's what I'm saying, is that the liberal left is thumbing their noses at us who went ahead and gave them the opportunity to do what they're doing. And as stupid as they are in regards to taking the attitude that they are, it saddens me. It disappoints me.
Jer, if we continue this, I'm going to get calls. I'm going to get emails, rather, from people who are Democrats or on the left, and they don't like this conversation, so we're going to cut it short. I appreciate your call. I really do. But I learned a long time ago, if we go too long with this, then the people start getting all upset. You know, they don't want to hear it.
Frank, I understand that. It just, like I said, I just see them not to honor the veterans when they put their lives on the line.
I know. I watched it all. I know exactly what you're talking about. Jer, I appreciate it. I got to go. I appreciate it. Thank you
very much. You have a great show.
Thank you. And by the way, the little education about Nine Line and calling in a Nine Line, there was nothing political about that. And if anybody emails me going, well, you'd be political, screw you. It wasn't political. Calling in a Nine Line for medevac support has nothing to do with politics. It's something that our military is trained to do, that most of us had no idea they did. We knew they called in support, but we didn't know how. It's kind of letting us in, and it's all because of this apparel company and the name. And it caused me to go look, I wonder why it's called Nine Line, and I start digging, and I find out what a Nine Line call is. I didn't know, but I'm glad I know now. All right, we're going to do a little business here. I told you that I think 3 days ago my grandson, who's 5 and a half, had a dental appointment at Ballast Dental Care, and everything went well. And I'm glad that he's on the right path and the right track, and I would imagine that when he's 6 and 7 and 8 and 10 and 15, he'll probably still be going to Ballast Dental Care, because once you find a dental clinic like this that you didn't even think existed, you're not going anywhere else. Why would you? You're not going to change. So I look forward to running into him, if I live long enough, when he's a teenager and has a car and a driver's license, and maybe we'll be there back-to-back appointments, and or maybe we'll deliberately make them so we can go together to Ballast Dental Care. Ballast Dental Care is a dental clinic. In many ways, it's like any other dental clinic. They have the spit sinks and the cups and the water and the drills and the suction cups and the picks and all that stuff. But in many other ways, it is so superior in the way they make you feel comfortable in a way you never thought possible. So do this. Make one appointment at Ballast Dental Care. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And that's anybody listening, whether you haven't been to the dentist for 20 years or were there 6 months ago. I've been going there for 45 years. It is a fantastic dental clinic. Ballast Dental Care, the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. Oh, it's 4 o'clock.
Everybody, it's Bob Ramsey, and you're listening to KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, and KFNS.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chum Roberts. The woman accusing Virginia Democratic Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax of sexually assaulting her in 2004 is detailing the alleged incident. Vanessa Tyson, a professor at Scripps College in California, says Fairfax forced her to engage in sexual acts with him in his Boston hotel room during the Democratic National Convention. NBC's Ali Velchi reads part of Tyson's statement.
It has been extremely difficult to relive that traumatic experience from 2004. Mr. Fairfax has tried to brand me as a liar.